Chapter 1. My Hero. When I was 12 years old, give or take, my father strapped a bomb to my chest and drove me to the First National Bank and Trust, so we could steal $27,500. I know what you're thinking. If you're going to go through all the trouble of rigging your son with explosives and send him to rob a bank, you should set loftier goals. But my father has a policy that he only steals what he needs at the time, and at the time he needed $27,500 to finish one of his projects and to buy groceries. We were out of frozen waffles. Dad parked outside the BP across the street to distract himself by playing Angry Birds and eating cashews, while I walked through the bulletproof doors of the gray-bricked building. Me, a pale, wispy-banged preteen, green-eyed and skinny, wearing a dark brown overcoat and an impertinent expression, walking into a bank all by myself. There was no guard at the door, but there were plenty of little black globes hanging from the ceiling. Security cameras. My heart caught in my throat, but I forced it down. Dad had told me not to worry about the cameras. They were taken care of. He had my back. I approached the first teller, a young woman in a navy blazer with her hair pulled into a stern bun and too much makeup masking a potentially pretty face, and opened my jacket, showing her the bomb. I could tell she was impressed by her platter-sized eyes and the choked-down, quiet pee-in-your-pants scream, which came out all muffled, like a dog's squeak toy under a couch cushion. I gave her the speech, the one I had recited at least a dozen times the night before, and three more on the way over while finishing off a bag of Skittles for breakfast. "There's a horrible man outside," I said, nodding back toward the glass. "You can't see him, but he can see you. And he says if you don't fill this, produce Transformers backpack, old school cartoon, not those overstuffed Michael Bay movies, with $27,500, he will hit the detonator, and you and me will both be carried out of here in Ziploc bags." It was a speech prepared by my father, at least most of it. I added the Ziploc bags part myself. And it probably would have worked. The bomb, the speech, the Ziploc line. It would have, if I had even tried, if I had bothered to get into character. Someone in my position, a kid picked up off the street, 3 pounds of explosive taped under his chin, a juvenile IED about to commit his first felony, you'd expect I'd be snot-faced and crying, shaking uncontrollably, begging the woman to hurry or to call the police. But I just couldn't make myself do it. I came off flat, I'm sure, as if I couldn't care less, as if I wasn't worried at all. Don't get me wrong, I was. A little. I just knew more than I was letting on. I glanced at the teller standing next to her. A man, mid-40s, receding hair, pencil lips, probably his second job, or third. Formerly an accountant or a used car salesman. I felt sorry for him. Maybe he liked the girl with the bun. Maybe he would try to impress her by leaping over his teller station and tackling me. Maybe he'd always wanted to be a hero when he grew up. Understandable. But there aren't any heroes left in New Liberty. And I'm pretty sure if Captain Baldspot had superpowers, he wouldn't be here cashing checks and wearing that stupid-looking paisley tie. I watched him twitch, his wrinkled, wreathed eyes darting back and forth from me to another man. The bank manager, I figured. A much younger guy, skinny like me and better dressed, cluelessly staring at his computer across the room. This wasn't going as well as I had hoped. I turned back to the young woman and whispered, "The bad man outside told me that I only have 3 minutes." Actually, the last thing my father had really said to me was to watch for traffic. "Look both ways, because that's what you worry about when you're going to rob a bank. Still, it's nice that he worries." The teller blinked at me. Maybe she was in shock, or maybe somehow she realized that the explosives sitting above my heart were just Lincoln logs rolled in Reynolds wrap, with wires and a pulsing LED light attached with electrical tape. Either way, she wasn't moving. The bag sat empty on the counter between us. The accountant-slash-car-salesman-slash-bank-teller next to her made a little move. A twitch of the arm, no doubt reaching under the counter and triggering the silent alarm. Now I really did only have 3 minutes. "Listen, lady," I said, pushing the bag a little closer to her. "It's okay. No one is going to blame you. You aren't going to get fired over this. Insurance will cover it. And even if not, This job isn't worth it. Am I right? You don't really even want to be a bank teller for the rest of your life anyway, and you certainly don't want to explode. So just toss the money in the sack, and I'll go.